Touch toes. Heinz Mann is always a challenge to get started properly. Baruch Hashem. Yeah, you're able to celebrate Yom HaTzmud. It's a big schut. It's a big schut. I assume our great-great-great-grandparents who were able to start Kayetz Man without any disruptions, if you gave them the choice of being able to start Kayetz Man in Eretz Yisrael with a little bit of a disruption, that's a way of expressing appreciation for the fact that we can be in Eretz Yisrael, they probably would have taken the deal. So again, Baruch Hashem, Ashreinu, Ashreinu. But you have to get into the zone of Kayetz Man. Into the zone of Kayetz Man. And we're in very heady parshios, the parshios of Kedusha. The parshios of Kedusha. You know, it's a huge chiddush. Part of the problem is that we know it, we're familiar with it, so we take it for granted. There's a concept of Kedusha in Judaism. Seder. Okay. But it's a huge chiddush. And I spoke about it earlier this week. The idea of Kedusha really begins with the fact that we're created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tzelem Elokim. If a person really understands that, then the idea that we can and should seek to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes all the sense in the world. And Kedusha is the most basic expression of that. You know, being something greater, something higher, something different than the regular norms of the world around us. You know, if you take it back for a second to what we just talked about, Yom HaTzmaut, part of the challenge and part of what I think rubs people the wrong way is that there's a lot of people celebrating Yom HaTzmaut who don't see it as anything more than July 4th. Or fill in the blank of whatever, you know, your day is. That clearly is not what we're about. We don't see the presence of the Jewish people in Israel as parallel to some community collective in the United States or the United Kingdom or the United anything. It's Eretz Yisrael, it's Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. It's a Davar Shebikdusha. So it all goes back to Kedusha. And the Kedusha of what it should be as not only an individual but as Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So as I mentioned, Parshas Kedoshim is where it all begins. This week's Parsha, for those who don't know yet, right, is Parshas Emor. And the truth is, if you ask the average person what Parshas Emor is about, they will not know. You say, Parshas Kedoshim, I've said Kedoshim to you. That's Pashat, right? What's Parshas Emor about? And the truth is, at first glance, it seems to be a continuation of Parshas Kedoshim. Parshas Kedoshim begins discussing in Yonei Kedusha, and Emor continues the conversation. It's about the Kohanim, who are, you know, Anoshim Kedoshim, and the halachas that they have. Then it's about, that's Perichov Aleph. Then Perichov Beis is about Kachim, not being Metame Kachim, not bringing Baal Mum for Kachim, and the truth is, there's a very strong parallel between Chav Aleph and Chav Bet. The halachas we talk about regarding Kohanim are very similar to the halachas we talk about regarding Kachim. It can't be a Baal Mum, you can't be Metame them, which makes sense, they're both Kodesh. Then we talk about holy times, Mikroi Kodesh, which is the phrase used here. So it seems to be just a continuation of Parshas Kedoshim, and thus the obvious question is, why is it a separate Parsha? Or more significantly, what is the separate essence of this separate Parsha? What is the message and theme of Parshas Emor? Different than, beyond, past Parshas Kedoshim. It can't just be holy, because that was Parshas Kedoshim. What does Parshas Emor have to say? Now you think this is just some, like, you know, cute little pun on the name of the Parsha. But the truth is, the stranger the name of the parsha seems, the more significant it must be. And Emor is definitely a strange name for a parsha. Why? We do have other parshas that are somewhat similar. For example, Parshas Tzav, Tzitzave. There, it's not just a saying, it's a tzivu, it's something more significant, it's a certain type of saying. mitzvah, okay. Even Parshas Vayikra is a unique type of way of calling out. Right? It's not just saying. But Parshas saying? Emor? What kind of Parsha is that? What does this mean? But one thing is for sure. The name is not random. And it really is expressive of how the new Parsha introduces itself. If you look at the first pasuk, it's not just the first word. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor el Hakohanim, Bnei Aharon, V'yamarto Alehem, Lenefesh lo yitam al b'yamov. The word Amira appears three times in the pasuk. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor el Hakohanim, Bnei Aharon, V'yamarto Alehem. It's even hard to understand just to translate it. Emor el Hakohanim bnei Aaron v'amarta alehem. And if it wasn't that we're so used to the Torah seeming to sound redundant, this would seem strange to us, right? Say to the Kohanim and say to them. Well, that's regular Torah. Right? Again, you could assume this is a joke book, in which case it's one that doesn't have very good grammar. Or hopefully, you know, you learn enough Torah, you start to realize, you know, watch out for lightning before you say something like that and mean it. You know what I'm saying, right? And you realize that everything here has significance. So before we even understand the significance, we understand that it makes sense to call this Parshas Emor. If it were just this first pasuk, we could say Epis, you know, whatever. But if you look through the Parsha, it continues to appear. V'yamarta Alehem, V'yamarta Alehem. So there's a theme. In the second part, you know, not Kedoshim, Emor. We haven't explained anything yet. But at least we know there's something going on. So there's a very powerful medrash that speaks about the repeated amiros here. The Medrash Rabbah, beginning of the parasha, says there's a difference between the world above and the world below. In the world above with the angels, things don't have to be said twice. When God said something, that's it. It's a maimer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's done. It is. Hel yonim she'en yetzahara matzui behem. Amira achat da'yalahem. One amira is enough. Aval ha'tachtonim, our world, she'esh bem yetzahara, halavai l'shtei amiras yamda. Halavai that two are enough. Hadahu dichtiv v'yomar Hashem ha'moshe emor ha'lakohanim b'nei Aaron v'yamarat aleihem. In our world, things need to be said more than once. And halavai the second time, right? Not just it needs two times. Even two is no guarantee. Because things that are said, no matter how right they are, no matter how clear they are, we don't always know how to have the strength to live by them. There's a lot of truths we know. There are a lot of commitments we make. There are a lot of things we want that we don't always live up to, right? The Medrash attributes it to the Yetzer Hara. Okay, you know, and you can describe it any way you want, but let's just say that because we know there's people living other ways, because we don't see the truth clearly, no matter how much we know something is right, we don't always know how to stay to it, how to stick to it, how to live by it, how to commit to it. And that's l'chor the pshat of what we say in Kedusha. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hu Elokeinu, Hu Avinu, Hu Malkeinu, Hu Moshiyenu. V'hu Yashmiyenu. I was in the Ashkenaz getting at all the shyness. V'hu Yashmiyenu. Beracham of Sheinit Leinei Kol Choy. Liot Lachem Lelukim Ani Hashem Elokech. The Rachamim HaKadosh Baruch Hu has on us is that he knows that it's hard for us to buy it when it's said only once. In the end of days, he'll say it again. With his great mercy, he'll say it again. And hopefully then we'll know it. So the Medrash is introducing Parshas Emor as emphasizing the need for a second saying. And of course the question is, how do we turn the second saying into something that we can make stick? Because the first one doesn't always work well. In the Elyonim it does. In the Tachtonim it doesn't always. So I believe that we can find an answer for this. And what I mean by that is, how can we internalize the Amira, at least the second Amira, in a way that we can stick to it. That's the question I'm asking. The Emor of Yamarta. I believe that we can explain it through Rashi, who quotes another Medrash of Chazal. First Rashi and the Parsha. Emor el Kohanim. Emor v'yamarta. These are Rashi's words. Emor v'yamarta. What's he talking about? The repetition. Emor v'yamarta. Lahazir gedolim alaktanim. Lahazir gedolim alaktanim. To warn, to be mitzava, the older ones for the younger ones. Or the great ones for the smaller ones. Because it says, Emor el kohanim, v'yamarta lehem. How does Rashi understand, Chazal understand it? Tell the kohanim to tell others. You're making the older ones, the greater ones, responsible for the smaller / younger ones. Or in other words, Chazal are explaining the significance of the multiple amirot as coming to teach us the responsibility people have for others who are less. And I think this understanding of Chazal fits in beautifully based on appreciating the rest of the parsha and thus seeing the first pasuk as an appropriate introduction for it. What do I mean? I think the big difference between Parshas Emor as a whole and Parshas Kedoshim as a whole is the significance of holiness, of being holy. Parshas Kedoshim speaks about how individuals act in a holy way. You don't have the wrong sexual relations, you have respect for your parents, you keep Shabbos, there's a whole list of things. You eat karbonis the right way, don't people, you know, pay us, all kinds of, many mitzvahs in Parshas Kedoshim. What's spoken about in Parshas Emor is a different league. And I want to explain to you what I mean. Let's dafka start from the end of the parsha. Perek Chof Gimel, not the very end, we'll get to the very end in a few minutes. Perek Chof Gimel talks about Mikroi Kodesh. And we all know, and that's why I'm starting there, the great Chiddush of Asher Tikru Asa Mikroi Kodesh. We establish holy days, we create them as holy days. That's not just we set the calendar and it's been off. No. First of all, if the wrong date is set, the wrong date, even bimezid, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, they know it's wrong and they set it anyway. It's kavua. The kiddush of Bezdin of the day, not just through the calendar, but the pronunciation of the day. The making of Kiddush to establish it as holy. Mikadesh, Yisrael, Ve'azman, in the Gemara in a number of places. What we're seeing here is that the Kiddusha of Klal Yisrael is not just about how people live as individuals. It's about an ability and a responsibility to generate holiness in the world around us. In Perek of Gimel, we see it about time. But in the earlier prakim, you see it on many other planes, and I'll explain what I mean. There's a pasuk in the beginning of Perek Chof Bez that Rashi has a hard time with. If you look in the beginning of Perek Chof Bez, again, it's talking about kachim. It says like this: Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemar, daber el Aaron v'el banov. V'yinazru mikachei b'nei Yisrael. Be careful how you treat kachim that the Jewish people sanctify. Not to be metameid, etc. V'lo yichalelu eshem kachi. And don't be machalel my holy name. Asher heim makdishim li. That they are makdish to me. The words asher heim makdishim li, what are they modifying? I'll read the pasuk again. V'yinazru mikachei b'nei Yisrael. V'lo yechalelu eshem kachi, asher heim makdishim li. The words asher heim makdishim li is assuming going back to the first clause of the kachin. Or in other words, the pasuk should say is, v'yinazru mikachi b'nei Yisrael, asher heim makdishim li, v'lo yechalelu eshem kachi. That's what it should say. Rashi says, and it's a midah of drasha and chazal. Listen carefully. Sareis hamikra v'darshehu. Change the order of the pasuk around and read it this way. V'inazru mikachay b'nei Yisrael asher hem makdi shimli v'lo yichalalu et shem kachi. What's the problem, of course, with that pshat? It doesn't say that, right? The Ramban quotes Rashi, goes, it's unnecessary. Because this has to do with the sod of the Mishkan. And he refers you back to Parshas Truma. V'yichuli Truma. What's the problem with V'yichuli Truma, of course? It may sound nice, maybe a nice euphemism to say, you know, take for me a Truma, but really it's not taking, it's giving, right? That's what a Chazal say. That when you're building the Mishkan, you're taking God to you. Now what does that mean? It means, listen carefully, that in this world, the Jewish people generate God's name. V'lo yechalalu es shem kodshi asher hey makdi shimli. That's what the pasuk says, right? And the truth is that we understand it. A Jew takes an animal. It's an animal. Smelly. A Jew takes an animal, a boid, right? And says, Kodesh Lashem. And this represents God in this world. A Jew takes a pen, writes the name Vashem with Kavanah. Without Kavanah, it's not holy. The same letters are not holy without Kavanah, right? We learned in Gittin, right? A Jew takes a pen, writes the name of God, has the intention, and now it becomes holy. You can't, if you destroyed it, it's a terrible thing. Who made that God representative of God? The Jews. Ki ani Hashem mekadeshom. God creates us in His image, because all human beings are in God's image, right? A guy is also created in God's image. But if he writes Yud Kevav Kev with intention, it's not all. So everybody's created in God's image. But the Jewish people are sanctified, are empowered with the ability and the responsibility to sanctify other things, to be makdish a korban, to be mekadish the kohanim. What do I mean? If you look at Perek Chaf Aleph, where it talks about all the dinim of kohanim, it says they can't be metame themselves, it says they can't serve as a baal mum, and shtupt in the middle you have a pasuk, which Chazal learned a lot of halachas from, listen carefully, v'kidashto, and sanctify him. Chazal learned from here the responsibility the whole Jewish people have to sanctify the kohen. Which doesn't just mean making sure he keeps his halachos. When we give him the first aliyah, you give him the first piece of food, you don't allow yourself to benefit from him. You are sanctifying him, setting him aside as something holy. And of course, the next level of this is not just the way we sanctify time, and not just the way we sanctify objects or people, but even the greater significance of our actions and speech. What do I mean? There's a pasuk in Perikov Bez. After we finish speaking about the kachim, Perikov Bez is about kachim, which reinforces this idea of how the Jewish people are mekadesh or mechal shem shemayim. It says like this: Ushmarte mitzvotai vaasitem otam ani Hashem, velo techalalu es shem kachi, v'nikdashti betoch bnei Yisrael, ani Hashem mekadeshchem. You know what we learn from this pasuk? Velo techalalu es shem kachi. We learn from here that if a person, most people are familiar with the din of Chilul Hashem, that if a person is asked to do an Aver Barabim, right, they don't do it. Right? When you're amongst the other Jews, but it's more than that. When a person does an Avera, not because they have a Yetzer, but because they want to do an Avera, Lachis. Any Avera, in any circumstance, there's a Chilul Hashem. The Lashon of the Rambam is very powerful. again, based on the Gemara, but the Rambam formulates it, he says, listen carefully. Hilchus Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Hei, the dinim of Kiddush and Chilul Hashem. Kol haporesh me'avera achas, o asa mitzvah, lo mipnei davar ba'olam, lo pachad ve'lo yira ve'lo levakish kavod, ela mipnei haborei baruchu, kiminias Yosef atzadik, atzmo me'eshes rabo, hareze mekadeshes Hashem. When a person does the right thing, for no other reason but because it's what God wants, that's a Kiddush Hashem. When a person does the wrong thing, even if it's not Berabim, even if it's not one of the big three Aviras, there's a Chilul Hashem. Now again, we're so used to using the term that we may not reflect on what we're saying. Most people use the term Chilul Hashem as interchangeable for making a bad impression on people. And Kiddush Hashem is doing a nice thing. Those things are true. But what does the term mean? It means Ve'ata Kadosh Yoshev Tilot Yisrael Elna. In this world, the sanctity of God's name hinges on the actions of the Jewish people and vice versa. We take it further. Nikadesh es shimcha ba'olam. Kishem shemakdishim oto b'shmei marom. You think about it. And then we go on to do it. We generate the Kedusha of God's name by saying Kedusha. By saying Kaddish. The saying of Kaddish is learned from here. V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. That's how you know you need a minyan. Because the ability to speak about God's name, the significance of what we do, Avera Mitzvah, the significance of our statements is about the tzibur that we bring together to make those statements. The chiddush of Parshas Emor beyond Parshas Kedoshim is that Kedusha is not just about personal hygiene and conduct. It's about what we generate. It's about how we impact. On multiple levels. And that's why the last part of the parsha makes all the sense in the world. A guy cursed. Big deal. High school. It's not even high school. High school. Elementary school. A guy cursed. People say, God D, right? He cursed. They don't know what to do, right? There's a lot of different explanations about what they knew and what they didn't know. But Mistama, they didn't think they had to take the guy out and stone him. Think what would be happening in our school systems. It's scary. Right? Now, what's pshat? A person said something. So what? So on the one hand, we're supposed to learn from here how powerful what we say can be in Lashon Hara. But the punishment for Lashon Hara is not skila. Thank God, right? But the punishment for cursing God's name is why? If you're reading Parshas Emor properly, it's pashut. And it's understandable that it's the climax of Parshas Emor. The same mouth that can generate the Kedusha in this world, that can say Kaddish, that can say a Davar Shebekedusha, create something, can also destroy something. Not just the calendar we set up and the hisnagos with the Kohen and the kachim that are going to be brought as a korban. Just the words we say can sanctify or destroy. Can sanctify God's presence in this world. That's why God created the world. God's presence is not automatic. On some level it is. But the knowledge of His presence, the appreciation of His presence, that's about us. And you know, if you think about how this interfaces with Yom HaTzimut, the Jewish people in Chutz Laretz are unable, and it's not their place, to create the character of the society they live in. It's not our place. And you feel this wherever you are in Chutz Laretz. No matter what kind of community there is, and it could be a beautiful community, as soon as you leave it, you're back to Goyim. Which is what it should be. It's the land of the Goyim. Eretz Yisrael should be the place that we create this broader existence of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. That's the goal. Eretz Yisrael shouldn't just be a place where a bunch of Jews can live from. It shouldn't just be Parshas Kedoshim. People don't have the wrong sexual approaches. People don't, you know, don't act like slobs. That should be in Chutz La'aretz too. And you can have that in Chutz La'aretz. But the broader picture, Lahazir Gdola Malaktanim in the context of Parshas Emor is not just, you know, mentorship. It's the responsibility because you have the ability to impact. It's appreciating what it means to be a Gadol, appreciating the fact that a person is empowered, and using that power to help someone who doesn't yet appreciate it, appreciate it. L'hazir gdola malaktanim doesn't mean, I'm your Shana Bet guy, I'm going to tell you what to do. L'hazir gdola malaktanim means to help someone who's small appreciate that they're big. To help Tanim appreciate how they can be gdolim. The Zohar explains the word lehaz here is connected to the word Zohar. The Zohar would know, right? To shine. To shine upon. To help appreciate. We began with a question. How does a double amira help ensure that something that didn't stick the first time sticks the second time? In the Olam HaSel Yonim, it's clear, it's pashut. But how do we make it stick in the Olam HaTachtonim? And I think if you put the pieces together, the answer is, if a person sees themselves as small and insignificant, what I do doesn't matter. What I say doesn't matter. What I'm makdish doesn't matter. Nothing, it doesn't matter. It's just a personal thing. That's what I do. It's easy for a person to not take seriously the decisions they make. Rav Nachman writes that most sins flow from katnas mochin, which means small-headedness. Or in other words, low self-esteem. Whatever term you want to use. If you don't take yourself seriously, why should you take what you do seriously? When a person understands that they have the responsibility to shine on others, because they have the ability to shine, because what they do impacts beyond them, it's the beginning of a person deciding to actually take themselves seriously. That's the power of that explanation of Rav Kook for the phrase, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Hashem Chafetz Laman Tzidko, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. And we often paraphrase, Lahagdil Torah V'Yadir. Rav Kook writes, every person interfaces with every piece of Torah in a different, unique way. And therefore your learning of Torah is significant because what you are going to see, no one before you or after you will ever see. Okay, wow, I have a serious weight on my shoulder. To understand, and everyone has the opportunity where they see this, to understand that what I do changes things in the world around me. Everyone has seen this a little bit. The question is, do you run from that in fear, or do you embrace it and accentuate it and maximize the opportunity and understand what you're here to be? And kal v'chomer, if a person taps into what a Jewish person is supposed to be through Limud HaTorah. The Gemara in Gittin that we just learned, in the end of Masechet Gittin, tells a story about the Amoraim. A few Amoraim met each other. The exact context isn't so important for us. Talking about Gneva, if you remember, that was with Amoraim. And, you know, they, some of the Amoraim didn't want to stand up for Gneva. That was a guy's name. Because he didn't show respect to the other Rabbanim. And interestingly, maybe he felt this, so he came over to me and he said, Shalom Aleichi Malki, Rabbanim. Hello, King Rabbis. The Rabbanim are called Melachim. Why? A Melech is a person who has great power and someone you should be respecting because of the significance of what they do. We respect people. Mixture between the power they have and the significance of what they do with that power. Who has more power than a person who learns Torah? And the truth is, maybe this is strange if you ever interacted with real Talmidei Chachamim. Real Talmidei Chachamim are, of course, Anavim, but not people who minimize the significance of what they're doing. We'll talk about this Mirat Hashem more when we get to Shavuos. But there's a powerful Gemara about Rav Yosef, right? Who said, he made himself a big meat sandwich on Shavuos. And he said, if not for Shavuos, if not for the days of learning Torah, there's a lot of Joes out there. Meaning, I'm a chosh of a guy. The Gemara in Sota tells us there's no one of like Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks, there's such an anav, how can you talk himself that way? Says, an anav means I realize that Hashem who created me, everything I have is from Him. Relative to Hashem, I'm nothing. It doesn't mean I minimize the significance of learning Torah. And it's appropriate that Rav Yosef said that, because Rav Yosef, on the one hand, you met him, and he was a small little guy, right? Didn't eat anything. He's a stick. But he had strength. Like all Gedolei Torah have strength. Because they believe in the importance of what they're doing. And this is a major challenge for every single one of us. For every single one of us. Whether we've been in yeshiva 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, where we come from makes this challenging. And I want to explain what I mean. A person who grows up in a world where Talmud Torah is emphasized as what makes you great, as what makes you significant, and people yearn for it because everybody wants to be great. Even if you don't feel it yet, it's ingrained. It's like we spoke about yesterday. It's the difference between growing up in Chutz Laretz with Yom Ha'atzmaut and Eretz Yisrael with Yom Ha'atzmaut, right? You grow up in Eretz Yisrael with Yom Ha'atzmaut, so it's posh. You say hello, just like you do on Hanukkah, right? You don't look around like, why am I saying hello? It's weird. You know, full hello? How can we say full hello? What's going on? You don't look around for you that way. It's posh. We, you know, from your mother's milk. Grom Chutzlar is like, you know, the same thing with Talmud Torah. Person who grows up in a community with Talmud Torah, some weird people do. At most, it's a mitzvah min hamufcha for strange people. At most. So even if you learn, whatever amount you learn, you're used to a world view that sees it as a most a veneer. We have to remind ourselves what it means to be a person who learns Torah, what it means to be a person who's a bearer of Torah. There's a difference between the two things. One is an occupation. The second is an identity. We want to talk about a zman that includes within it Shavuos. It should be different than a zman which includes within it Chanukah and Purim. And even Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because it's different. We're supposed to be preparing for Chag Matan Torah. A big part of it is this. Understanding the significance, the greater significance of Limud HaTorah. And the purpose of my sicha is not to say you should learn Torah. It's part of a bigger picture, but it's a big part of that bigger picture. the appreciation of the person I become when I learn Torah, and the person I want to be when I learn Torah, and that the only way to be something special and someone special is if I do. That's what Rav Yosef is saying. Man Malki Rabbanu. So I wrote the article for Vasa Shavuos already. I have to write in advance. So I wrote this Gemara of Rabbi Yosef. He says, if not for the days of learning Torah, there's a lot of Joes out there. So I wrote Joe DiMaggio, Joe Namath. You ever heard of him? I was just right. Joe Namath or Joe Montana. So most of you know Joe Montana, but Joe Namath is a chaloy shame. I wrote Joe Biden. You get in trouble with some people. Joe Lieberman. They didn't want to put in Joe Lieberman. I said, we see from Rabbi Yosef that no matter what we accomplish outside, the thing that really makes us meaningful as people for ourselves, it's a big mitzvah to impact the world. But what makes us valuable as people is Limud Torah. Ilav hayoma dekagorim kama Yosef yikub b'shuka. It's internalizing that. People want to know, how does my connection with Talmud Torah last long term? How can I ensure that in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years, in 10 years from now, I'll still learn Torah? This is it. I read a story, Rav Eliyahu Dapian, the great Mashgiach, Rav Eliyahu Dapian. He said, you know, it says in Pirkei Avos, second Perek, Mishnah Ches, talks about the different Talmidim of Yochanan and Zakkai and what their zgulas were, what their l'shevach, this one, Ashri Yoladato, Belazar, it says, a bor sid she'enum abed tipa. He was a plastered pit, who didn't lose a drop of his Torah. So the Mashgiach asked, okay, so he was blessed with a good memory. Why is that being said, l'shevach? So Rav Eliyahu Lapian said, when I was a little boy in Russia, Tsarist Russia, one day the Tsar visited our town. Oh, it was a big deal. The Tsar, it was a big, big deal. Much more than the president visiting your elementary school. Because the president can't chop your head off. The Tsar came to visit our town. Till this day, I remember the color of the buttons on his shirt and the color of the feather in his hat. Why? Because it was important. What's important to us? I was communicating with one of our alumni today. So he said he lives in a certain situation, single, lives in a certain situation, and he's being pressured by other guys to move from where he's living to another situation. I want to get into detail. He says, Rebbe, I just want to make sure that I'm thinking correctly. He said, I feel that where I'm living today is with people who it's very important to them to make sure we're learning. And the other people in this other situation, they're good people, but learning is not on the forefront of their minds. And I think that, you know, it's important to me to maintain, you know, an environment where da 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 da. So on the one hand, I was so happy that it's important to him. On the other hand, I'm so sad that he lives in a world where you start wondering, he has to check with me. You can't see it any other way. That you appreciate the great impact what you do has in all ways, including Limud Torah. A lot of people here are considering, what am I going to do next year? Okay, I'm going to stay another year in yeshiva. I'll be in this kind of environment, that kind of environment. And obviously each person has to think for themselves about what's right for themselves and what's right for the goose is not right for the gander, right? Each person's different. And, you know, most people have decided more or less what they're doing. But, you know, what's important is not just what you do. It's how you see it and how you see yourself through that. Spending more time in Torah, spending more time in yeshiva, spending more time in the right context should be motivated by and help drive in more deeply a sense of godliness. wherever a person is going in life, in yeshiva, in the army, in university, wherever they are. The question is, am I growing in my sense of godless, of the greatness of who I can be, of who I should be, and how that expresses itself? L'hazir g'dola malaktanim. If we remain k'tanim, we could be holy k'tanim. We've remained in Parshas Kedoshim. Amor is about what we're told to tell others. What we're told about what we need to be doing with who we are. Nekadesh es shimcha ba'olam. Kishem. Kishem shemakdishim oto b'shmei Avraham. You know, you say it. We say it often. Do we understand it? Because there are so many people in the world, because there are so many Jews in the world who don't understand that they are great or don't understand what makes them great. And maybe they have genetic embedded to feel great, but the way they try and support it are through things that aren't meaningful, or at least not personally meaningful, or at least not what makes us great and what's meant to make us great. Because there are so many religious Jews who don't identify with this sense of godless, who don't appreciate the great significance of Kedushas Yisrael, not just about how we live, but about how we impact. And because there are so many who don't understand how this is driven by Talmud Torah, the danger is that either we don't either, or even if we do, because we know how others view it, our view becomes something arbitrary and not real and not embedded. And if it's that way, we shift from being engaged to being, you know, we're lukewarm. You know, the existence of the State of Israel, the care, if a person cares about the State of Israel, really cares, should drive someone to want to make themselves even more than they would have otherwise. Because there's a big enough Kamina today. And you know, you talk about the tziburim that appreciate Judaism and appreciate the State of Israel, both for real, and how they interface. People like that are driven by a sense of achrayus, not just for themselves, but for the future of Klal Yisrael, in the place that is our future, and the opportunity we have to impact it. And I'm sure, over the last 24 hours, over the last few days, where this has been in the air, and frankly over the year of being exposed to such people, you've understood that, you've felt that, you've seen that. But the question is, can you internalize it for yourself? Can you turn your appreciation and care for Israel into a sense of responsibility, of added responsibility, of what that means you need to do in developing yourself? Do you understand how much more significant the Kiddush and Chilul Hashem is in your life? There were a lot of questions in the 19th and early 20th century about, you know, what should happen in Eretz Yisrael? Should this exist? Should that exist? And many Gedolei Torah said, you know, that's something that may be acceptable in Chutz Laretz, but in Eretz Yisrael. Something like that in Eretz Yisrael. And for better or for worse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to return, facilitated our return without things being what they need to be. He gave us a lead pass. Do people make the mistake in thinking that that's all it is. There's a little bit of a, the term I'm looking for, of a disjunct, disattached, between the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Har HaBayis, the Makom HaMikdash, the Ir HaKodesh, and iced coffee. Kofix, Kofiz, Burgers Bar. Now again, Yerushalayim is meant to be a city. Is it just a city? That happens to have a big shtiebel in it? And you can get a minyan anytime. Better than Shiner's. Oh, we don't have any Muncie people here. Is that what it's called? Different name? Shiner's. That's what it's called, right? Oh, okay, fine. Is it, I don't know if it's better than Shiner's. It may not be as good. That's what we want to say. Zach wants to say Rebbe. It's not in the same league. Okay. So if we're not even as good as Muncie, then what are we? Or in other words, there's two ways for a person to grow religiously. One is because you take religion seriously. The other is because you take yourself seriously. I think Emor is about the latter. There are things here that are, you know, Malay Kasav Amri, Malay Mikra Kasav, Yiv Shalom. Ah, she felt they had to say, Sarah Samikra Vidarshe. V'lo yichalalu et shem kodshi asher hem makdishim li. I guess that's just one pasuk. It's a theme that threads the parasha. You know, there was a question, where were we going to go for Shabbos? One Shabbos, guys, we should go somewhere. So we had all kinds of I really wanted we should be able to go to Bethel. And the reason why is because a place could be called Bethel. And we call it Bethel because it's where Yaakov Avinu had his dream. It was Luz initially, right? Ulam Luz Shemir Rishona. Yaakov called it Bethel when he saw there the angels connecting above and below. And this is the house because the whole house is the angels. And there's a place right outside the Yishuv Bethel where it is believed that Yaakov had his dream. Why they believe, they explain all the things, whatever. There's a place they identify. That doesn't make a difference if it's there or there or there. It's there! You understand my point? And you know, most shuls in Chutz Haaretz aren't called Bethel. The reason why is because the Reform stole the name. Temple Bethel. Okay. But it's a beautiful name. But you can use the name of Chutzlitz, it doesn't mean anything. Here, it means a lot. I mean, there's a guy who, last time I was there, took all the boys to this place. He's the Prime Minister of Israel's brother-in-law. His name is Chagi Ben Arzi. So I called him to ask him if he would take the guys there. He's not going to be in Bethel for Shabbos. So we're trying to find someone else to take us there. It doesn't matter. You understand? He wrote the Megillas Hatzmod, if you ever read it. And he wrote it, okay, whatever. All the miracles about the state of Israel. Wow, you understand what I'm saying? Wow. That a human being can see that. You know, the Baal Tanya writes that when a person learns Torah, the Malachim come to wait to hear the Maskano. He says, if a person understood how the Elyonim are waiting to hear the learning of the Tachtonim. You know what? To take ourselves seriously. To understand Malachim Olim V'Yodim. V'inei Hashem Nitzav Alav. To understand where we are and what it means. Eretz Yisrael is not a place of katnos. And even many of the non-religious people at least those who founded the state in the first generations, and still some today, are people who take themselves and what they're doing very seriously. And Jews have always felt that way in Eretz Yisrael more. Everything in Eretz Yisrael is more intense. For that reason, the stakes are higher. You talk about Netanyahu, you know, the fear he operates from and the seriousness in which he takes what he does. I'm just using an example. It's different than any other leader. Most of the world is just politics and games and positioning. These are serious things. Eretz Yisrael is meant to be something very serious. And either we tune into that seriousness, parallel to that, we tune into the seriousness on an individual level, or we continue to take ourselves like a joke, you know? In high school, none of us take ourselves very seriously. One of the big things that a kava happens when you come to yeshiva, and when you're in Eretz Yisrael, when you're in this very special place, is you start to feel this sense of godless. I matter more. And it's not gaiva to feel godless. It's gaiva to feel that because I'm a god, though the whole world should bow down by me, and I'm so important, nobody else is important, and I'm so much greater than everybody else. You go off a ben hazmanim, and you put your head back into what everybody else values and doesn't value and thinks and doesn't think, and you start thinking about, you know, game seven, and we're going to be at home, we're going to be on the road, and 3-point shooting, and someone else thinks it's important, so all of a sudden you start thinking it's important. I missed a game, and who won, and what's going on, and who's going to win, and your head just gets a little bit, it becomes relative. It's a dangerous thing. Because you lose that appreciation for what really matters and what really makes you matter. Return to yeshiva, you have to justify that. And you think Yom HaZikaron, that people live their lives, commit their lives, emos and nefesh, and die for something that matters. That's very powerful. Hopefully we won't die. We'll all die, but hopefully we won't die early. No one dies early. You die when you're supposed to die, but you understand what I mean, right? Hopefully we'll die at a young age. Hopefully we'll live a long life and accomplish a lot of meaningful things. But there's a lot of people who live many years but don't live a long life. They live a very short life. And there are very people who live a very short life who live a very long life. It's a matter of what you do with it. Yom HaZikaron is a powerful message for that. Yom HaTzmut, you see what people can do when they put their minds to the right things. What they can accomplish, it's unbelievable. The goddess Adam, the goddess of the Jewish people, the malchus of a person who learns Torah, the malchus, man malki rabbanon. Take yourself seriously. That's what you see long term. Some people take themselves seriously. Many people don't take themselves seriously. Some people want to take themselves seriously and convince themselves that Narishkeit makes them serious. And some people take themselves seriously because of the right things they're involved in that matter. Many people want to feel important. The question is, do you puff yourself up with all kinds of stupidity and foam? Wanting to feel important is good. You just have to fuel it properly. So the ikar is to not allow ourselves to slip into katnus mochin, to remind ourselves how important we are. All people, all Jews, all B'nai Torah, all Lomdei Torah. And number two, to remember what makes us valuable and how we realize that potential that we have. Lahazir Gdolim Alektanim. It starts with being a Gadol. And in the broader sense of the word, it means much more than being 13. And the hope is that we can make sure in the third Zman of the year, to appreciate all this, to crystallize, and to appreciate and translate for ourselves these feelings we've had throughout the past year and years of being involved in important things, each one on their own level. To put it together. To try and feel a little bit how when we learn, how when we do the right things, we impact ourselves, we impact other people, we impact the world around us. Because you want these things that we know are true to be things you can feel a little bit, because the more you feel them, the more it'll be easy to identify with them. You have to spell it out for yourself in order to be able to support it in your mind. What's the difference between me as a katan and me as a gadol? And again, it might be a little gadol. It may be just a little bit greater than being a katan. But it's something. And that's important. How do I make it more? The Noam Elimelech, Rav Elimelech Milizhinsky says, L'hazir gdolim alaktanim. He says something very powerful, which isn't pshat. I don't think he meant it as pshat. But it's another level on it. He says, L'hazir gdolim alaktanim doesn't mean to be mazir great people on small people. It's to be mazir great people on small things. Great people, part of being great means that you take the smaller things seriously. L'hazir gdolim al dvorim ktanim. And of course, it's not a stira, it's the same thing. The greater you are, the more significant you see yourself as, the more seriously you take even the kind of things that most people don't take seriously. Because I'm important. Because everything in my life is important. Once upon a time, people believed in themselves more. I'll explain what I mean. People wrote diaries. Why should I write a diary? I don't understand. Dear diary. Diary to person. People want to chronicle their life because their life is important. I wanted to write what they were feeling today. People wrote poems and songs about their lives. You're like, what are you, weird? People wrote poems. You know, the Chayal dies, they find they wrote poems about himself and what he was thinking and his mission in life. 17-year-old kid. Most people 17-year-old today are scrolling through their Facebook. They're not writing poems. That's funny. Ooh, they're writing an imagery, right? No one even feels anything anymore. They just send someone else's feeling, you know. I don't feel anything. I send you a picture of someone else feeling something. I matter because I could choose a good picture to send to someone else. Whoa. You know what I'm saying? People took themselves seriously. Maybe they were less aware of how many people there were in the world and of what was going on with so many other people. They were able to take themselves seriously. In the world of B'nai Torah today, B'nai Torah still take themselves seriously. Because a person who's involved in Torah, a person who understands something in Torah, a person who cares about Torah automatically takes himself seriously. I take myself seriously. I take the Torah I learned seriously. I take my understanding of it seriously. I look into something, I take it seriously. Because this is my understanding of Torah. And every little bit that I understand better and I define better for myself, I mean more, the world means more, and the Torah means more. Pasha, no? Well, I'm better than you. I was created differently than you. I was also created the sixth day. Meaning, you know, we both come from other Marisha, no? I just know. Takes us seriously. I was learning a piece of Torah today. I was learning a piece of Torah today. It says that when Avram weaned Yitzchak, Vayigomel, right? Vayas Avram Mishte Gadol. What does Mishte Gadol mean? He invited 1,000 people, no? Got a big hall. Had a big open bar. What does Mishte Gadol mean? had a bunch of chassidim playing music. Right? That's the big thing today. How many pieces would a band? It says, Mishteh Gadol. Right? Mishteh Gadol. So Rashi says, anyone knows what Rashi says? He invited the Gadol Leador. That doesn't make a Mishteh Gadol. What's pshat? So I'll tell you a story. Napoleon was once standing with his son next to his general. His general was a big guy, and Napoleon was a little guy. I don't know if you know, Napoleon was a little guy. So his son said to him, Dad, the general is so much greater than you are. He said, no, he's just larger than I am. Greatness doesn't depend on size. Okay, there you go. Take it from Napoleon, right? Mishteh Gadol. He invited the Gadol Yador. The hope is that you take yourself too seriously to be involved in the narishkeit that the world around you wants to be involved in. That you take yourself too seriously to waste your time on things that matter less than things that matter more. That's the goal, you know? The Netziv said about Visser Zalman Meltzer as a Talmud in Volozhin that he's the greatest masman in the yeshiva. So one of the other Talmidim said to him, I don't understand, Visser Zalman Meltzer had health problems. So he doesn't learn so long. You know, he has to stop and he goes and walks and he has to go sleep early. He sleeps more than most of the other guys in yeshiva. What he means, the biggest masman. So the Netziv said, being a mid-masman doesn't mean learning a lot. It means learning every hour you're awake and 60 minutes in every hour. Maybe Avisa Zalman Meltzer not being able to do what other people did made him appreciate the time he had and took advantage of it, you know. To take advantage of it, you know. To take advantage of it. That's one of the things, you know. People say, Rebbe, how come when you're walking, you're looking at your phone? I say, what else should I do? You understand the point? You have a phone, it gives you the ability to do something while you're walking. Otherwise, you would just be walking and wasting time. Again, I say, look at my phone. I mean, to do the answer a text message for one of the boys, or you answer something so you have more time later. Take advantage of your time, right? Your time is too serious. You have things you want to do. I try not to talk on the phone unless I'm in the car. I try. I have so much important things to do. Why should I talk on the phone when I'm not in the car? It's an emergency, obviously. You know, in there for people, of course, it's passion, right? But if you can, why would you want to waste your time? Could be doing so much valuable things. That's the question. Do you want to have a life where you'll always feel you have something valuable to do? Your whole life, something valuable to do. I have a lot of things I want to do right now. I felt bad because, you know, I was in America. And I took a lot of things to learn. And I always take things to learn, etc. And I never have time to do all of it. But this trip, I had a lot of time. Just, you know, different flights. I had a lot of time. And I was running out of stuff. I was running out of stuff. And so, thankfully, a very interesting, important woman in Eretz Yisrael, Sivan Rav Meir, if anyone knows who that is, she gave me her sefer to read. She just brought a sefer here, her and her husband. I had to meet with her about some important things. We'll see what comes of it. But in any case, so I had her sefer. You know, she gave it to me right in the airport when I was leaving. I had the sefer. So, okay, I took it out. On the plane back, I took it out. The plane was delayed. We had almost 2 hours on the ground before we took off. I finished the whole sefer. What are we going to do now? Thankfully, I found a few other things. I managed. It was okay. I got nervous. You know, so I said, what am I going to do? I'm not going to have anything to do. It's going to be bad. Could you imagine? Terrible. Chmuddle and slun. I hope when you're 49, 59, 69, 79, 119, you should always have something to do that's important to you that you take seriously, because you take yourself seriously and you know what makes you serious. And if you have a little sense of this now, you should want to invest to give yourself a bigger sense of this. Otherwise, your life be narishkeit, you know? Last night I was reflecting on the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. Why? Because in my feed, there's two kinds of people. There are people posting about Eretz Yisrael and Yom HaTzimut, Yom HaZikaron. And then there were people posting in England about Tottenham against Ajax. Was it Ajax when they played?
Yeah.
Ajax?
Yeah.
Okay. Guy's posting with his scarf. He's at the game, Yom HaTzimut night. And you see the contrast. I'm not against Tottenham. Chas v'shalom, I'm Jewish, you know, Spurs. But just the contrast, you know? Do we have something serious? Something to be involved in? Something that matters? Rav Nachman writes, Zeh yom asah Hashem nagila v'nisbechavo. We say it every Yom Tov. Because a Yom Tov is to realize that a day is good because Hashem created it. Zeh yom asah Hashem nagila v'nisbechavo. Every day is that. Every day is a Yom Tov. Every day is a Yom Gadol. Every day I get up as myself with what I can do is a Yom Gadol. What am I going to make of it? To realize how significant this Nakuda is, how significant it is in determining long term what you amount to. No one amounts to more than they imagine themselves to be. It's impossible. Know who you're meant to be, not just who you can be. Who you're meant to be, and what makes you that. Parshas Emor is an excellent time to reflect on that. Even if you're not going to Bet El for Shabbat, you're going to Bet El for Shabbat, or Kal V'Chomer, you know what I'm trying to say? And you get to interact with Rav Aviner, he's a dude. There's a dude, and you never know what he's going to say. And you never know how he's going to say it. Harif. Anyone who reads his like shut in the Parshas Shavua sheets, you know what I'm trying to say? He's like the number one SMS rabbi. I think he answers over a thousand SMSs a day. The Shilas. My kids ask him Shilas. Like some of the Shilas said, like he answers like very quickly. And he answers always to the point, brief, boom. And always like sharp, harif. I mean, I don't mean, I'm just saying sharp. Emes, boom. You know. She gets to interact with the Vaviner. He's a dude. And again, you meet him, he's like this little scrawny dude. But he's a god. He says like it is. I don't know if you know, he writes a lot of sperm. He just sits there writing. He writes and gives it to him. Serious. That's easy. He writes and gives it to him. Okay, it takes a certain amount of, you know, believing yourself. That's what generates learning, and learning generates it further, and that should generate more learning, and that generates more. Anyone knows how we started? Rav Aviner? So, you know, he was in Yeshiva, I think he learned in Merkaz, Rav. And then, you know, there were people who wanted to settle in Chevron. So the government didn't want to let them stay, so they moved them into the army base in Kiryat Arba. So he was sitting in an army base learning Yom HaVilayel in this army. Now there were other soldiers learning there. For years, I think. How about me now? Oblivious. Doing his thing. Doing what matters. It's going to be even more necessary in a world where we're bombarded all the time by people and things and social media and internet and this and that. It's even more important. Know what you are, know what makes you valuable, know what you want to do with yourself, know how you want to maximize, keep your eye on the prize. It's even more important in our world. Come harder. Emor! What the Parsha says. It says, take yourself seriously, people. We sanctify the Kohanim. And one of the speakers on the Israel 360 went to a shul. He's an Israeli guy. Went to a shul. Because, you know, a shul's in America different than in Israel. I said, how? Because I have a list. Because the Balabatim think they're in church. The Balabatim, they run the rabbi. They pay in salary, they run the rabbi. They think they're in charge. They think the rabbi is their pawn. I said, yeah, it's true. It is true. And that's something built in with Jews. They take themselves seriously. The fact that Jews want to take themselves seriously is correct. The fact that they don't know how to express it is sad. Tinik shenishba. Ashreinu, that we've been exposed to what it's supposed to be. Let's take advantage of it, not forget. Because you have to keep fueling it for it to be so. Long term. Eventually it gets easier because you get more used to living in an alternative reality. In the beginning, when you live not in the matrix, it's very hard. But once you become a pro, you understand there's a matrix and there's another, you know, okay, there's no problem. Nikadesh es shimcha ba'olam. Kishem shemakdishim oto b'shmei marom. What a powerful statement. And the line that we add, v'ata kadosh yoshev tilot Yisrael. You depend on us. You know, the two most important sukkim of Kiddush are, presumably, Kaddish, 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 and Baruch Kvot, because we're quoting the Malachim. But the one that's in this song, and the one that we add, is Yimloch Hashem, because that's what we add, that the Malachim can't do. To be Mamluch. So this is a very much a Parshas Emor song. Mekadesh Hashem Chabol. It's where we learn it from here. V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Kiddush Hashem, I don't just mean a nice thing. Oh, you know, you said thank you after you had dinner. That is very, that's a Kiddush Hashem. It's a Kiddush Hashem. It's a nice thing. It's people. But the, everything, the mitzvahs, the averus, chas v'shalom. The limud Torah. The building of a holy state. Big stuff. Heady stuff. Parshas Emor.
Nekadesh Shimcha, Shimcha Ha'ayla, Kishem Shemakdishim, Atav Mishmei Mara. Nekadesh Shimcha, Shimcha Ha'ayla, Kishem Shematishim Asav Shmei Mara Shimcha, Shimcha, Shimcha. Hashem Shemakdishim Ata Bishmei Mahara
Chazal give for Yaakov's vision in Bethel is that on one level it shows the connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us, which is a powerful thing. The Avos being the Galgalim for the Merkava, being what the Shekhinah rests upon. But on another level, Chazal talk about the ladder signifying man's ability to climb, man's ability to raise himself, to reach something higher, to become closer to God. And I think that's what inspires the Mishnah in the beginning of the sixth parak of Avos. Kol alomei Torah lishma zocha ledvarim harbe, and it gives a whole list. And the last thing is umigadalto umiramamto al kol ha'maasim, it makes you greater and higher. Umigadalto umiramamto. I'll call a ma'asin. We talk about Liman HaTorah, making someone greater and higher. Yaakov Avinu's dream showed the idea of man to climb rung by rung. When a person goes to sleep and their mind can focus on the things that they're focused on without being interrupted by all the cognitive dissonance, person can climb if they have something on their mind, something of value. I hope everybody has had the experience of spending a full day in things that matter and not interrupting themselves with things that don't matter and going to sleep with only that matter on their mind. And a person's mind is focused only on that. It's just experiencing life and reality on a higher level. Should know what that is so that you can appreciate what you want to have more of. That's what yeshiva should be. That's what yeshiva should be. It's important to know what it should be so that people can work on trying to get it there. Yeshiva is not just a cumulative number of hours learned. It's about a focused mindset. It's about a focused mindset. Not because everything else is necessarily bad, but because everything else is necessarily not as great. And a distraction from what is great. And you know, people first come to yeshiva, someone says, you know, you shouldn't look into that. Why? Where's the Osir? Where's the Shulchan Aruch? Yeah. I'm from. What are you trying to do to me? I don't know. It's just that they're G'daylim, trying to help you be G'daylim, not K'tanim, you know. Pasha Zemers, we should all turn a little bit more into G'daylim. We should all gadolify ourselves a little bit more. We should reflect on this. Each one, Parsha Zemer, we should reflect on this. Parsha Zemer should always mean more to us than it meant before. Mirtz Hashem. It's very powerful. It's very powerful stuff. Very powerful stuff. Let's reflect on it. Hopefully it'll be a meaningful way for us to invigorate our Zman Kayetz. For those not staying through Tisha B'Av, it's shorter than it is in other years. So it's even more important. Hamalocha Meruba. Hazman Kotzer. May the Paulim not be Atzelim. That would be us. Wherever anybody's going for Shabbos, it should be a meaningful time of reflection. Rab Kaitzman. Before it slips between your fingers. A lot of heady days in Kaitzman. A lot of heady days. Each one of them, very significant. Yom Ha'atzmaut, if it's taken properly. And it seems to me we are, you know. You're in the Churva. If you reflect on that properly. If you reflect on that properly, you understand what I'm trying to say. Yom Ha'atzmaut. Coming up, Lodge B'Omer. Avshalom Bar Yochai, we'll speak about it a little bit. Avshalom Bar Yochai. Oh boy. I'm talking about Avshalom Bar Yochai. Yom Yerushalayim. Shavuot. This is serious. And you think about it. All those days are basically in 1 month. It's 1 month. You think Sfira. Tonight was the 20th, right? 1 month. I'm getting into Diukim, right? It's 1 month. Wow, what a month. I think it could be a significant month, you know, if you take yourself seriously, and it seriously. You would say, Rebbe, should I come back for kites, man? It's not less than L. You know what I'm trying to say as far as the power. The closest month, you can have a month. What happens? It's just a month of learning. You know, the month of learning is very valuable. You know. What happens in between, you know, Rosh Chodesh Teves? And Rosh Chodesh Shvat. You have a Sar B'Teves. It's a boring dad, Sar B'Teves. That's it. And between Rosh Chodesh Teves and Tu B'Shvat, on Tu B'Shvat we have dried fruit. It's very nice. Rosh Shiva wears a funny robe. Okay, that's it. I'm not taking anything away from Tu B'Shvat. I'm not taking anything. You have a month. Yom Ha'atzmaut, Lag B'Omer, Yom Yerushalayim, Shavuos. Let's make the most of it. Okay. Everyone should have a meaningful Shabbos. Shekoyach. Shekoyach.